Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and I am with you for another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I've got a gentleman that I've known for probably 45 years or maybe a little bit longer than that. Wonderful man, phenomenal chiropractor, but also a visionary and someone who really lives the innate lifestyle. We have Dr. Bob DeBonis coming at us from the island of St. John in the Virgin Islands. Bobby, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line.
I am so happy to be here.
And I'd be happy to be where you are right now if it's winter time in the Virgin Islands. But before we get into it, Bob, I want to just let our viewers know a little bit about you because you've got a big history. He graduated chiropractic school in New York in 1978, immediately went into Manhattan. I think he was on Central Park West, opened up a practice with a few of his classmates and was there for many, many years. I mean, he spent 28 years. And then he moved. Innate spoke to him, and he didn't retire. I always kid him that he retired to practice in the Virgin Islands. He's been in the Virgin Islands for the past 17 years, still adjusting. We'll get into like some of adjusting of what he does when he lifts his doors up and he closes them and how that works. But he is truly he's a visionary. He's a free spirit. He's somebody who lives the chiropractic principle, but also on that other side, you know, on the left side of his brain, you know, Bob has been involved in politics. So he's been an ICA member since he was in his first trimester or first semester in school. He was one of the founding members of the New York Chiropractic Council going way back into the 70s. And that council is still going very strong today in the state of New York. He's been the ICA. He was the ICA rep in New York. He was the ICA rep in the Virgin Islands until just recently, where he passed it on to a younger buck. He travels. He lectures on chiropractic. He was on the state board of New York for many, many years, took every position, 13 years on the board, took every position and was chair of the New York State Board, chiropractic board for 2 years. And then when he got to the Virgin Islands, it was like he did the same thing. And he was on the Virgin Island boards, the chiropractic board for 10 years and continued on through all the positions, was the chair for 2 years. He's helped introduce legislation in many different areas. He's also gone on service trips with myself and Life West. If you just need anything, you just call Bob, and Bob is there to serve. If it's about chiropractic, if it's about creating a brighter future for humanity and doing whatever gifts he has. So Bob, that wasn't a eulogy, but I just had to share about you because, you know, I mean, I'm just touching the surface because of what you've done in chiropractic, and your friendship means a tremendous amount to me, but your friendship to chiropractic is just incredible. So thank you, number one, for your service, my brother. Truly appreciate it.
Well, it's been my pleasure. It's been my lasting purpose. And I'm happy to look back to a degree and see that I've made a difference, and I feel full.
and you know what? I want to start there if you can. Like, you know, listen, obviously with what you're doing, you know, you're married to a queen who allow, you know, just has you do all these things and supports you in all these things. But, you know, the art of giving back, I want to say that's what, as I'm doing the intro, you know, the art of giving back is, you know, this is what you've been doing, you know, always, you've always given back, you know, and you've always served chiropractic in so many ways. Just let's touch on that and, you know, see where that goes, because I think it's something that we as a profession do very well at and can always do better. Talk to me about giving back.
Well, early on, going down to DE meetings as a student, driving down from New York, we were really touched by a chiropractor from Wisconsin, Joe Stuckey. And he said, you New York boys got to clean up your act, and you have a responsibility to give back to chiropractic. And I didn't fully understand that. But later on, as I got more and more involved in chiropractic, I realized that chiropractic was giving me a wonderful, magical life. And I felt an obligation and a responsibility, not just to be successful in my office and go in, like you say, open the door, shut the door, but a real inner responsibility to give back to chiropractic. So I always tried to find a way to be active financially or with my time and efforts and taking on positions and projects.
Mm-hmm. And but in doing that, you know, there's that old saying that when people just get out of school, you know, the politics wants to pull them in because, you know, they're young, they're energetic, you know, that kind of deal. And I do know that one of the biggest things we could be doing is just giving money, right? Because it's not that we need 1,000 chiefs in the tent, right? We really just need to have, you know, have a lot more, you know, of the troops out there, but donating, you know, donating, and then their time when necessary, right? And I think that people kind of just stay back, or they don't see the importance of it, you know, and obviously you did. And what were some of the wins that you had, you know, going through the years, and whether it was in New York, whether it was globally, or whether it was, you know, in the Virgin Islands, when we talk about, you know, giving back?
Yeah. You know, the last thing I wanted to do was be on the state board, but I went to a meeting with Bill Remling. And he said something to me, that your very presence in the room makes the difference. So putting in the time and the effort and the energy. But over the years, some of our brethren would say to me, Bob, you love chiropractic so much. How could you possibly be on a state board that tries to limit the students that come in issuing license? They try to take chiropractors' license away. You know, those are the bad guys. And I said, well, no, it's because I love chiropractic so much that if there is a bad guy or practitioner that's doing stuff that they shouldn't, I don't want them in my beloved profession.
Yeah, yeah. And also the other
side. And then on the other hand, I've been able to save people's license that were wrongfully had some complaints against them. That when we got through the nitty gritty of it, they were doing absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it takes that objective person in there, you know, whose only agenda is chiropractic. It's not about helping a friend or doing this. It's about chiropractic, to be able to make a difference like that, you know.
Protecting the public.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I know that, you went down to the Virgin Islands, and obviously, you know, you've got a home there and you're on St. John's, and you've been, you know, you're Dr. Bob, you know, the chiropractor. Share with that. What was that move like? Like, you know, you leave Manhattan, very successful practice. I don't think many people know about the Woody Allen story that took place in your office, right? Do you remember? At least that's what I had heard. Is it a rumor where they borrowed x-rays from your office for one of Woody Allen? Huh?
Well, yes, that is true. And I can't tell you the number of celebrities, just because I was on the Upper West Side, including the governor of the state of New York. I mean, I was just in a position and a situation and had a willingness to serve that. You know what I wanted to say?
Please.
I wanted to say that when you give, you receive. And someone very brilliant, a mentor of mine, said, you can never outgive the giver.
Yeah.
You know, you cast your bread upon the water, comes back. Well, it comes back in so many different ways. So, yes, I was very blessed, taking care of celebrities, wonderful human beings, whether they were famous or not.
Yeah. And I just always remember this, that Woody Allen was filming a movie. They needed to look at an x-ray. So I heard they jumped in your office, yours, Jay's, Jan's office, and
yeah,
x-rays put on the view box. They filmed or did whatever, you know, and not that you guys ever got credit for it or ever got anything around it. Right. But they gave it. And, you know, one of your patients, I don't know whose x-ray it was, but one of your patients is very famous, being in a Woody Allen movie, right? those are the things that happen. Talk about the Virgin Islands. You know, you got down there. Were there chiropractors down there when you got down 17, you know, years ago, 20 years ago?
Very few chiropractors. Eventually, I became the only full-time chiropractor on the island. And I came down with the same energy and the same vibe I had in New York City, which didn't quite fit in the Virgin Islands. So within a very short period of time, the medical doctor found out about me. I was practicing in his office. I had my own office on the other side of the island. And I was actually taking a ferry and going over to St. Thomas, three locations in on two islands. I was working 6 days a week, probably from 8 a.m. to 8 at night. And my beautiful wife of and bride of 48 years said to me, "Bob, why did we move to the Virgin Islands?" I'm much more laid back, but it took months and months for me to kind of tune it down.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I remember we were sitting in India, I think it was, and or maybe Tonga. I don't know, because you've come on service trips with the college and worked with our students, and you've just been amazing with them. I remember you telling me like that, you know, you've got a space. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's 10 by 20 or something. It's got a corrugated door that you pull. Is that no longer?
No, I'm shaking my head because it's 7.5 by 15.
Sorry, I added some square footage onto your.
You did.
I don't want to make it too big. I mean, that's like a castle, right? But you pull, you know, and when you're there, you lift up the door and people on the island see that you're open and they come. And then when you close it, they see that you're not open, right?
Right. Ron, I started the practice. I was sitting having brunch 17 years ago. I had not had opened up an office yet. And a woman came up to me and she said, "I'm sorry, are you the new chiropractor that just moved down here?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." She said, "My husband yesterday, Saturday, was digging up fence posts, and he really hurt his back, and he's in agony." And I said, "Well, have him come here, and we'll see what we can do." And she said, "But it's Sunday morning." I said, "Well, I have a space downstairs. Would you rather he wait until Tuesday and suffer for the next 3 days?" Okay. And of course, it was chiropractic. He lay down on the table. I adjusted his sacrum, it released, he got up off the table, his pain was gone, and I never had to advertise, I never had to do any promotion. I immediately established myself on St. John as someone who cares, someone who's available, someone who gets results. That person was my first testimonial, and it just basically exploded from there.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can leave the island and you just, you know, once again, you just close the door and it's, you know, island life, right? Kind of deal, right? And it's just so beautiful. And then you're going to three different islands. I mean, you're serving because there's no one down there serving, right? Or maybe, right. I don't know, but obviously there was a
lot. Now there are. I no longer do that kind of craziness.
Yeah.
And I'm much more laid back.
Right. And now the Virgin Islands has a board and all kinds of stuff like that. And so it's beautiful. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And Bob, to move into that space like that, obviously there's a communication factor there. And, you know, that communicating chiropractic, how do we take something that could be so complex and make it so real to the people, right? You know, to the people that we serve. So when you talk about communication, let's jump into communication, because I know that, you know, you're one of the master communicators in chiropractic. Let's talk about how we do that, or how do we make it simple? How do we boil it down?
Well, first you have to know who you're talking to so that you can resonate with them. That's really key. You know, through the ICA going to China, the Alibaba platform, I literally had the opportunity to speak to hundreds of millions of people through that platform. Mm. And you, like a TED talk, you only have a certain amount of time, as you said, very complex, could get really into the science of it, the art of it, the philosophy of it. But if you're on an elevator going up a high rise and you have maybe a minute or two, I think a simple way of explaining chiropractic, initially, you have to address the fact that it has a philosophy and that we as a profession appreciate, understand that there's a life force and energy. Every individual has a soul, whether they're religious or not, that stuff that when you're dead is no longer present. That's the first step.
Right.
And in China, they understand the energy. They understood there was no resistance.
Right. They understand
the second thing, that life energy, that life force, that essence, we would call it innate, of course. It dwells within every living thing, and it uses in man the brain and the nervous system as a means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. They nod their head and say, yeah. So we have this life energy. It's using your brain. And guess what? There's an interference. There's a blockage. There's something that stops those signals and messages to create health and wellness in your body. And chiropractors are the ones that are trained to find it, detect it, and correct it so that your body can express its life to its fullest.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's so simple.
What'd that take? 90 seconds?
Yeah. So simple.
So you have to acknowledge the higher power.
Yeah.
And yeah, is that going to turn off some people? Right. Well, you didn't want to deal with them anyway.
But you know, the interesting thing is that the minute we take our philosophy and make it real, make it palatable, it's people get it. And I think the thing that we stop, where chiropractors may stop short, is we don't think people are going to get it. Or
exactly. We
feel like we're selling something. And the truth is, we're selling health. We're selling life. It's not that we're selling a product that they have to buy, you know, to take to their house and sit on their shelves. We're selling something that's already within them and just amplifying that which is there, you know?
Well, then the close is, would you want somebody to check your spine to see if you have any of these blockages?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they line up and lay down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so amazing. You know, I don't think people realize that when you went to China, you know, and you had hundreds of millions of people that were there and that, you know, you were speaking, the malls that you walked into had like big posters of you and LED screens that belong in like the Dallas football stadium, you know, with your face on it and chiropractic and all this stuff. You know, and then we were in India, you know, and here we are taking care of masses of people that walk in and watching miracles happen every day. And then we're in Tonga and the same thing happens. And people always ask, well, are miracles only, you know, they only happen on service trips, right? You know, that kind of thing. And it's not true. You were shaking your head.
Chiropractors have to realize that with every adjustment, every single adjustment you give, you're altering and changing that life of the person that's on the table in front of you.
Right. Right.
Did I see miracles in India? Yes. That, you know, two sons brought in a guy who was in a coma for 6 months. By the third adjustment, he was up. He was walking. He actually was dancing with me. Family crying, saying, you have no idea the difference it's going to be. Our younger brothers and sisters can go back to school now. A little kid who is bent over with the double rotatory scoliosis. All I did was release his sacrum. He stood up for the first time in years. You don't get that in the States.
No, no.
That's why it's so dramatic. But as a chiropractor, you have to have the self-esteem that you are. I want to say better, but no less than a neurosurgeon, a cardiac surgeon that's rushing in there and saving a life. Yes, that dramatic? Absolutely. But when a mother hands you a baby that's been colicky and hasn't had a bowel movement in 8 days, and you adjust them and you have explosive diarrhea as everything gets, you know, did you change the relationship to that mother and that colicky kid that's going to go on and change a relationship for the rest of their lives together?
Absolutely. No. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting.
How far reaching?
Yeah, exactly, Bob. And the interesting thing is we're not just talking about the symptomatic stuff. We're talking about keeping people out of the cardiologist's office. We're talking about keeping people out of the neurosurgeon's office. Like, you know, what we don't count, the blessings that we don't see, or how many people don't end up going down that path, right? Because we're talking about optimizing the human experience, right? And that optimization of the human experience isn't just in the spiritual. It's not just, you know, in the visual, you know, it is in the physical, and be able to have all of that kind of come together, right? Physical, social, mental, and, you know, and spiritual. It's what we do is, it's freaking amazing. I mean, it's so powerful.
I've had the opportunity at Ground Zero. I volunteered after the World Trade Centers went down. Kind of instrumental in opening up the borders so that over 1,000 chiropractors from all around the United States could go practice and help the responders. I saw people here after our double hurricanes 5 years ago that were just despondent. They were not, you know, walking. I guess kids now, they know about zombies and all of that stuff. There was nobody home. Lie down on the table and adjust them. And the GO team from John Hopkins is right next to me, and these medical doctors are doing triage. They're seeing people get up crying, weeping, hugging me, kissing me. Not because it's me, it's because chiropractic released that emotional, psychological blockage that was there. And just seeing them come back to life. It's so far reaching. You can't put your head around the whole thing.
No, you can't. And I know what you did at Ground Zero was incredible. And I think it's worth a shout out around that, because, you know, people have no idea what took place. I mean, when Ground Zero, when the Twin Towers went down, there was a lockdown. I mean, I remember everybody in my day, you know, in our generation, everyone remembers, where were you on 9/11? I can't tell you where I was on D-Day because I wasn't around. But you know, but my father's generation can spit that out, right? But everyone knows. You know, that were around, where were you on 9/11? And obviously at lockdown, you guys got in there at Ground Zero. Just share that just real quickly, what took place there.
So 9/11 was on a Tuesday. On a Thursday, I went down in the subway with a portable table. There was nothing organized at the time. Just with the idea that they were at that point going through the pile, 5 gallon buckets at a time. So there was a lot of stress. There was, you know, I felt the need to, how can I help out? And how can I help out the most by adjusting these responders? The Javits Center was then opened up, started adjusting people there. Then the New York Chiropractic Council, along with the Board of Examiners, got together. We were recognized by the American Red Cross. Ron, to get through all the security, I made up ID badges.
To have the chiropractors go through?
That, with my face on it, expiration date. I made up a whole bunch of them. You got stopped by the Army. You got stopped by New York State Troopers. I said, I'm here to help. I'm on the Board of Examiners. Want to make sure we heard there's chiropractors down here, yada, yada, yada. You just had a mission, you know, give a message to Garcia type of thing. You just went with it. And it was my my passion to be able to help that magically opened doors and let us in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just me. I mean, we're talking hundreds of chiropractors and then eventually thousands of chiropractors, three clinics running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for months and months and months until the Red Cross, I think it was in May, they just shut everything down.
Right. But what came out of that, I know there's a first responders group now. When they had the fires in San Diego, when they had
Dunkirk.
You know,
yeah.
There's a gentleman in Texas, and I'm just trying to think, or Oklahoma, I'm trying to think who he was, who he is. And he's the one who mobilizes, and he went to Hurricane Katrina, and it was all this kind of stemmed from, you know, grew out of ground zero, right? You know, in New York City, in Manhattan. And
2 o'clock in the morning, Ron, I'm sitting on a couch, exhausted after a full day of practice, midnight to 6 a.m. I went down to ground zero. I'm sitting on a couch, and this guy who's got patches all over him, you know, these service things, he's, I think was from New Mexico, might have been Texas, but he looks at me and says, oh, you're one of those chiropractors. And I rolled my eyes, Ron. I thought, oh, God, I don't need to hear this. No. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, my jump team, and he was forest fires. You know, they go, these guys are crazy. Football players, old athletic injuries. He said, by day three in an emergency like this, a response, my guys are starting to break down. And I'm saying, what do you mean breakdown? He said, well, you know, their shoulders are going, their low back is bothering them, but they're dedicated and they keep jumping on the pile. I said, yeah, I know. He said, but this is the first time we're 7 days down here. Nobody's breaking down. We drag them off the pile. We make them sleep for 4 hours, take a hot shower. They're getting chiropractic. They're getting massage. They're getting acupuncture. And I said, well, I hope you tell somebody about the impact that this type of care, not as a first responder, but as a support to first responders. Right. He says, don't worry, I'm Colonel so-and-so and so-and-so. So I have no doubt that that's what started this recognition of, we need to take care of these people.
Yeah, and Bob, I will tell you this, and I know it from sitting in my chair here. The minute something happens, you know, if there's a disaster, the calls come in. Right.
Yeah.
And they want chiropractors. They want chiropractors because who's asking for it are the first responders. You know, they're the ones who want that. You know,
I'll tell you a really quick story. The hurricanes came here. Not a leaf on the island. It took me 4 days to get out of my house. I have my portable table. My office is destroyed. I walk down the mountain. I get to the fire station. I start adjusting people, responders, patients, people on the island, the Marines, the Navy was here, Coast Guard was here, New York State troopers were here, New Jersey first responders were here. The outpouring was just amazing. There's about 30 people waiting to see me. And this guy yells out, hey, Doc, you're like those chiropractors down at Ground Zero. And I'm busy and it's hot as hell. And I look up and I said, yeah, I was one of them. He gets to me. He eyeballs me, Ron. He looks me right in the eyes. He said, you adjusted me at the Javits Center about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And here we were so many years later. He's still responding. I'm still doing in chiropractic what I can just out of pure service.
Yeah. You know, it's such a beautiful story, Bob. It's like, you know, I think
small world.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think the message is like, you know, you get the vision, you get the calling to do something, get out of your chair and go do it. You know, don't think there's always a way, right? That where there's a will, there's a way. There's always a way to make this happen. And it makes such a huge difference. And now it's everywhere. Anytime there's an incident, and at least in the U.S. and then Virgin Islands, you know, there's going to be chiropractors there. It's just, it's beautiful. Bob, I just so appreciate you. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate your love for life, because I think chiropractic is life, you know? So, you know, we can love chiropractic, but the truth is, you know, the ancillary, that's just ancillary to life. Like, with, you know, and I just love that you are caring yourself and caring chiropractic and what you do, and being able to share that not just with first responders, but everywhere you go, and especially with our college. And I do want our viewers to know, I mentioned it before, I make a phone call and Bob, hey, you want to come to Tonga? Bob, you want to come here? Bob, you want to go to India? It's like, where do I go? Where do I, give me the airport. I mean, you're the first responder, you know, and I really mean that on some level, that you were always there whenever, you know, there's a need or even a want, you know, and it's just so amazing. So thank you from my heart. You know, it was great having you. We've kind of hit our witching hour. I want to leave with one thing. I just want to ask you this. You know, you've got many years left on this planet, but when that time ends and your spirit moves on and you go to wherever that is, and if there's a few people waiting for you there in chiropractic, give me the three that you'd like to see first.
Sid Williams. Fred Barge, Ian Grossel.
I love it. I love it. Three wonderful people, people I knew very well, as you did too. And three of the giants, man. And that's what it takes. It takes, you know, listening, learning. And what did Bill say? He said, show up, right? Bill Redmond, you said, just show up. Your presence means more than you could ever imagine. Yeah. What a lesson for us chiropractors, right? You know, show up, be there, do what it takes, and you will see miracles happen.
Have a big vision and just trust that you get the big picture and the little details will take care of themselves. Yeah,
absolutely. Bob, thanks, man. I so love you and appreciate you.
And love you.
Yeah, and to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for tuning in, week in and week out. And thanks for sharing this with others, because you know what? People need to hear Bob's story. People need to reawaken to that giant that's within, that just wants to be able to come out. And that's why we do these LifeWest Leadership Lines. You know, we do them so that we can get the message out. And we have so many people watching them now, but we want to get even bigger. So by you spreading them, you're helping to spread a seed that can then grow and grow and grow. So I thank you for all that you're doing with that. The other thing is, these come out every 2 weeks, and the opposite weeks, we send out our Life by LifeWest with myself and my wife, Dr. Mary. Check into those also, but mostly, just keep loving yourself and keep spreading the chiropractic story. As Dr. Bob said, play at a bigger level, whatever that is for you. But there's so much room on this playing field to play. And chiropractic and the world is just waiting for all of us to step up or step into whatever that is that we need to step into. So, Bob, once again, I'll bid you adieu. And to our audience, thank you from the Virgin Islands joining us, and to everybody else, I love and appreciate you. I'll see you next time around on the LifeWest Leadership Line or Life by LifeWest. See you later.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.